There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Let's not fuck about. Let's get on with this. We're getting a deep dive into the mailbag again from all you cunters that have contributed. If you want to do that, you can get in touch on Twitter at TF Time Machine or email us at topflighttimemachine@gmail.com with all of your stories, most of which we will ignore because they are fucking awful. But never mind. You've tried, and that's the main thing.
Some of them, aren't they, mate?
Some of them are really long. Some of them have completely missed the point of what we're after. Some of them are borderline criminal.
We don't want to incriminate people on this show because there could be something. Couldn't there be a problem for us if
we
know about?
I've been passing someone to the police. I thought we would. I thought that was.
Yeah,
policy
well, I think that's the best to cover ourselves because if not, if we are aware of a criminal act and we don't report, then in some ways you could say we're a complicit. We're conspiracy.
Accessories. Yeah, we could get done, couldn't we? Yeah. So
just be careful about that. And just try and keep it succinct. There are some details that are not necessary in a story. Get to the good bit, really.
Yeah.
Get to the bit where you spunk on your iPod.
Yeah, get to that. Cut to the money shot straight away. Top Flight Time Machine is the only podcast that will grass on its listeners. That's our guarantee to you from us.
Proudly grassing on its listeners since 2018.
To the cops.
Do you know what would be a really good episode? I know we don't have guests on, but you know my good friend Peter Blexley off of The Hunted, former top police detective. I think we should invite him on, and then we just go through, we do a special grass special where we go through the worst of the messages we've had on eBay and we just read them out to Peter Blexley, and then Peter Blexley tells us what his thoughts are on whether or not it's a crime.
Tell us which ones were arrestable or not.
And what further action should be taken.
And then at the end we solemnly hand over a dossier with all of the letters and emails.
And never tweeting. Will our outgoing theme tune of Crown Court. By the way, talking of Crown Court, that's another one that another Casper Delaney story that he gave me yesterday.
Right.
After telling me that he'd put his own dog in kennels, he couldn't be bothered looking after it. He said that Crown Court, he's doing an Open University degree in law, right?
Yeah.
And he's really into law. And I go, is that mainly from watching Crown Court? And he was an unbelievable truant when he was a kid. Like, he was one of Britain's best bunkers, which should be a show on Channel 5 if it's not already. He had bunked in every way you can bunk. He never turned up to school. And he blamed it.
And now he
really
works for Ridley Scott.
Yeah, just goes to show, kids. Yeah. And he said the reason he bunked off a lot, he realised, was because Crown Court, he reckoned, he says, but you'll be able to confirm or deny this because I trust you on Crown Court more than him. He said, well, the thing about Crown Court was it all built up throughout a week and you got the verdict on a Friday.
Yeah.
So once you'd bunked on a Monday, you basically had committed to bunking every day.
Yeah, you were totally invested in it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was on for half an hour. It was on for half an hour, like half one.
So that's
every
his
afternoon.
Excuse for leaving school with no qualifications, Crown Court.
Fair enough.
But then now look at him now. He's a man in his 50s successfully studying for a law degree at Open University.
As a result of Crown Court.
Whilst also working for Ridley Scott and getting through shit tons of co-op wine.
Crown Court was his schooling. And now he's doing a law degree.
Yeah, now he's going to be Britain's top lawyer. I owe it all. When he gets up to receive his law award, like the law Oscars that they do every year, he'll thank Crown Court probably.
And it's, of course, it's in his DNA because his dad famously defended himself in court that time.
Yeah, exactly. So it just comes naturally to
that
us
desire
Delaney's.
To stand in front of a judge in a court of law and defend someone, even if it's himself. That's there, isn't
Put
it?
Putting one's thumbs inside one's lapels.
Yeah,
and striding about a courtroom authoritatively, barking at people. That's just in the Delaney blood, mate.
I put this to you.
Point of order, my lad.
No further questions, my lad.
Oh, one last question. Turns his back to the defendant with a flourish. Could you tell me what colour tie I'm wearing? No further questions.
This is it.
Here's a one we've had from someone who calls himself Cunter Chunter. And it's about his granddad, who is a bit of a card, he says, and has a whiff of the bullshit about him. And he says, the recent tale of downing a hot air balloon with a cricket ball inspired me to share some personal granddad bullshit, as he sometimes played for his works team in his youth. Not content with smashing a delivery from an opposition fast bowler so hard that it flew horizontally for, quote marks, fully 300 yards... before embedding itself so far in a grass verge it had to be dug out before play could resume.
Like Superman had done it.
Yeah. He then followed that up by twatting a six so high and so far out of the ground that it cleared a low-flying plane as it flew over the boundary.
Excellent. Excellent.
He's obviously not such a crack shot as the hot air balloon guy, as he didn't manage to actually knock the plane out of the fucking sky, but still... And Cunter Chunter says this is just one from the hundreds of bullshits in his arsenal, such as the time he broke the record in the local gym by leg pressing half a ton in his 70s.
If I'd been doing that bullshit, far be it from me to interfere in other people's bullshits, I would have quite liked to have said that the cricket ball hit the tail of the airplane and knocked it spinning, like in a cartoon. It just spun sort of on the spot in midair, like maybe 10 or 12 times, like, but then just carried on flying on its merry way.
Right in its position.
The other thing
on.
Is, I've noticed a real trend of cricket-related lies, which makes me think that the cricketing community is rife with bullshitters.
Well, it probably is, isn't it? Because we had that
It
one.
Makes
we
sense.
Had the, we had the hot air balloon, and of course the dad who came back from the pub without his trousers on because he drunkenly joined in a game of cricket and the ball had hit him
with some kids.
On the pocket. With some kids. Hit him on the pocket where his matches were and the
and set his trousers on fire. And
it's
just
a great
think,
excuse.
I just think it kind of makes sense because cricket is a game sort of... for eccentrics, isn't it? It's a strange eccentric game.
Yeah.
And it's also traditionally kind of like a village thing. And bullshit, forgive my prejudice, but bullshit I feel is more rife in village areas than it is in urban areas.
Yeah.
Because nothing
it's
much
more boredom.
Happens.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're really bored, so you've got to survive on bullshit.
Another one has just come in from Steve, which is a combo of a bullshit and a dad project, where a dad takes over a school project
and makes it
his own. So Steve says, I want to share a bullshit from a lad at school. This lad told us that his dad drove a Harley Davidson car that was the only one they had ever made. And he also had a pet shark in a giant tank in his front room. He says, what this dickhead didn't seem to realise was we walked past his house every day on the way to school and could not only see his drive, old Fiesta, but could also see into his front room, normal size fish tank.
No shark,
no Harley Davidson car. Steve also adds, also wanted to tell you about a time again at school when I got an art project to make a replica of my vacuum cleaner. A replica of your vacuum cleaner. Jesus Christ. He says, my dad fully took over the project and made it an almost perfect replica with a removable bag and opening front panel. It was viewed with serious suspicion by my teacher and set me up for no end of shit as the quality of my subsequent work drastically decreased.
I was thinking about this the other day. I went when I remember once at the weekend, I used to worry, it's quite sad. Another thing, you'll notice that a lot of my stories are subtly crafted to elicit sympathy
yeah.
from people. And
you're a manipulator, aren't you? You're an emotional manipulator, a narcissist, perhaps, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
those two things often go hand in hand, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Possibly a psychopath.
Well, I've tried to make my nickname Poor Sam. In fact, on my radio show on Talk Radio, I had a regular item called Poor Sam, where I got to tell listeners just a bad thing that had happened to me that they should feel sorry for me about. Anyway, I used to worry about my mum being lonely when me and my brothers were out of the house, right?
Yeah.
And I would always sort of, I think I might have overestimated how sad my mum was. And I was, when I was about 12, I went out for the day with my dad, and I'd always have like a little bit of residual guilt of going out with my dad and his missus for the day and leaving my mum lonely at home, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because my dad would have probably taken me for a treat or something, you know, something good. And back at my house, it was all sort of, you know, Pancho from the Flats, dog shitting on the bed, etc.
Dogs humping next to the tunnel.
Exactly. It was that all bad. But whenever I went out with my dad, he might have taken me to a restaurant, something like that. So
your home life
back.
Was EastEnders, and it, life my of your dad was life. More Howard's Weir.
Yeah, exactly. My dad did take me to the boat show once at Earl's Court, and we looked on these fucking extraordinary boats.
Yeah.
And I remember, I was trying to work out a way whereby we could afford to just live on one of these boats. Anyway,
How old were you? And how many swimwear models was there standing on the boat?
I was like 10. It was. I can't believe I haven't been back since. I've suggested it to my kids a couple of times. Like, I don't know if it still exists. Well, but in my head, it's like the best. It's the best thing you can do is go to the Earl's Court boat show.
That's me and you go. Anyone can go, can't they?
Yeah, you just
don't
rock
have to be
up.
Rich to get in.
No, my dad just took me one weekend, you know, because I suppose if you're a single dad, you've got to find things to do with your kids.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, you see your kids all week, but if you're just seeing them at the weekend, the pressure's on. So he'd think, what can I fucking do this weekend? So he's taken me out to the Earl's Court boat show, and it's remained in my head.
Whoa, hold on.
What?
Statement from last May. British Marine, which organises and owns the London Boat Show, has announced the 2019 show, due to run at XL London from 9th to 13th of January 2019, so we've missed it, will not take place.
Oh, shit.
This has, as a result of insufficient support from a large proportion of the marine industry to the London Boat Show with its current format, duration and location. So the boat show could be over. Either
well,
that
why
or
don't
some,
me and you take it over?
We could do, couldn't we? Or some fuckers are doing a power play, I think.
I've run festivals before, but I could easily do a boat show. I know, I've been there once. I've got vivid memories of the things that make it, and you're right. There's a lot of girls in swimsuits, and there's just, like, the level of luxury I saw on some of those boats was borderline grotesque.
Jesus. Yeah, they've knocked it down from 10 days to 5 days, and some of the exhibitors aren't happy with just 5 days. Oh, man.
Fucking hell, babies.
Oh, there's one in Southampton.
It's a bit babyish.
There's one in Southampton.
Well, we'll go to that. That's but that more got more credibility than one in London anyway.
That seems to be the big one now. Yeah, we'll go to that one.
We'll get down to that. Do you know when that is?
Just bear with me, I'll have a look.
If we've
sorry
got any
this,
boat
listeners.
People, if we got anyone from the marine industry listening and but oh I
yes.
tell you what. If
Sam.
You've got if you're involved in the marine industry and you're a fan of the show, then why not invite us down on one of the days to do a live recording on one of your boats. I'm sure it'll attract a lot more customers.
13th to the 22nd of September 2019. 10 days of boat show.
There must be someone out there.
Southampton, September, we could stray man it for 10 days.
Oh, brilliant place to stray man, Southampton.
We could live within the boat show. We could sleep on the boats.
Yeah. You could steal in. That's a good idea for a sort of a comedy film as well. Like we get trapped inside a boat show.
Right, I'll add that to the list of things we're going to do. Yeah. Pontefract.
The security are all pirates.
We didn't
mention
this. And
they're chasing us.
We didn't mention this, but we're going to go to Sausage World in Yorkshire, which is going to open up soon as well, aren't we?
Yeah, that's near the haunted house I have access to.
Yeah, we'll do the Pontefract.
So that'll
sausage.
Be our Yorkshire tour, and I've always wanted to do a bit more of a tour of Yorkshire. I feel like I don't have enough experience of Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And
they'll tell you if you need more experience when you're there. They'll tell you if you're doing it wrong. And yeah. So that board show in September. So yeah, we're doing all of that. Where okay. were we? What's the
oh yeah,
this
just
episode?
I went out with my dad. I can't remember if it was to the boat show or what, but I got back and my mum had left on my desk in my room just some A4 paper with some writing on it that she had done. So I read it, right, and it was so upsetting. It was like, I've been in this terrible state for longer than I can remember. Every day, all I can hear are the wails of other people ringing around my head. I am tired and hungry. I feel unloved. And it was just awful, right? And I thought, oh, my God, my mum's fucking lost it, right? She's gone bananas. Mm. She's written. She's done some expressive prose as a form of therapy. I was only about 11, right? But I could fucking see what was going on. And I practically cried reading it. And then I went and found my mum in the kitchen. I went, what the fuck is this all about? And she went, it's that essay you asked me to write. What it was I hadn't done an essay for my homework, and the essay was based on slaves coming over from Africa in a slave ship being right. people trafficked but to America or wherever, right? And we'd been asked for humanities to write from the perspective of one of the slaves, right? On the boat. And I hadn't done it. But my dad had promised to take me out, and I'd freaked out and said, I want to go out with my dad, but I'm supposed to do this essay today. And my mum had said, will you write it for me? And then I'll just copy out my own writing. And because I was very spoiled emotionally, my mum went, yeah, no problem, I'll do it. But I'd forgotten that I'd asked her to do it. When I come back, she'd written this fucking depiction of a living hell, and I'd got muddled up and thought it was a depiction of her own life. Oh, we laughed in the end. And by the way, before anyone starts shouting cultural appropriation, no, I am not comparing the plight of my mum in the 1980s to that of an African slave on a ship in whenever it was that happened. I'm not. It was just an honest and hilarious mistake.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
James O'Connor, my brother's friend came into school one morning to tell his mates this tale. The friend, let's call him John Bullshit Story, claimed that his dad worked in a zoo. His dad worked in a zoo part-time. Always a great basis for a bullshit coming up.
Part-time.
Lads, my dad works part-time in a zoo. As soon as I heard those words, I would sit down, light a cigarette, and rub my hands in anticipation. And when John got home from school one day, he was confronted by his dad sitting on a sofa next to a fully grown adult emperor penguin. The dad proceeded to tell his son that he'd had to bring the penguin home for a few days because the zoo had given his special dispensation, as he had developed such good relationship with his dad. He thought it would be in the penguin's best interest to spend time out of the working environment with John's dad. So you've got an emperor penguin living in your house now. Yeah, that's right. It's part of my dad's job. We've got to. He's my brother now, and I have to treat him like my brother.
It's fucking good, that. Here's one from Martin in Singapore. When I was in secondary school in the mid-80s down in Cornwall, we had a maths teacher who kept up a story for the whole of my fifth year and may still be doing so in some retirement home or other. The story was that he was the guitarist from Steppenwolf. His name was Mr. Step. Not having access to the internet in those days, it was difficult to prove him wrong, as he seemed to have a wealth of information about his time in the band and their history. Yeah, they're called books. He'd have looked it up in books, mate. I regret to say that I think I probably fell for the story. Even the bit about the CDT teacher, Mr. Wolfendale, also being in the band, hence their name, Steppenwolf. Looking back, it seems unlikely the two American rock stars would become teachers in a comprehensive school in Cornwall. So these two fuckers have sat and dreamed this up in the staff room, haven't they? Mr. Stepp and Mr. Wolfendale.
I respect them for it, because this is not... There are two different types of bullshit, in broadly speaking. There's one where someone is actually almost half believes it themselves and is desperately trying to seek the approval of other people. And that's a real pathetic bullshit. But then there's a bullshit that you've just purposefully made up to wind someone up.
Malicious and, bullshit.
Yeah. And they're, in a way, I've got more respect for them. We've got one here from Brendan that is titled Stray Man, Good, Possible Sex Fail, Bad. I'm always
we'll
a bit...
See.
We're trying to weed out sex fails.
I've pre-approved this one. It's not bad.
Okay. All right. It's not nasty. No. We might not have to grass this one to the to the old Bill.
He's clean.
At age 16, I was on a trip with my school's volleyball team at Bridlington.
Weird.
And we were all staying on a campsite by the seafront. One night, I tried my luck with one of the girls in the group, and having been rebuffed in no uncertain terms, and being an emo gobshite, I decided to go down to the beach with a herbal cigarette, in quote marks, and stare at the sea as if that would somehow fix everything. Unfortunately, the campground had a curfew, and upon trying to return, I found all the gates locked and the fences too high to climb.
Right.
It's too high to climb. Shut up. You'll remember about me going up that really high fence to get the ball out of the allotments and getting stuck there for a whole PE lesson. Have some balls. Anyway, too high
just
to climb,
he'd been down the cliff smoking a herbal cigarette. He's not going to be able to climb or anything, is he? Fucking hell.
No, that's true. Even a short wall would seem too high to climb if you're very high. Right. So I didn't have a mobile in those days, and I was barefoot. So I did the sensible thing and set off walking into the town. I was now officially a stray man.
Yes.
Within 5 minutes of getting into the town proper, I saw a bloke sat in a doorway looking miserable. I went over and said hello. Yeah, bloke looking miserable over there. I'll go over and say hello. And asked what he was up to. He just sighed and pointed to a car parked across the road and said, "Waiting for my mate." At that point, I noticed the car was rocking vigorously. Being a naive 16-year-old, I just laughed and said, "We've all been there, mate." I hadn't. I carried on walking. That's a great 16-year-old thing to say, isn't it, to an adult, to try and make out you're on their level. Huh? We've all been sat in the doorway waiting for our mate to finish having sex in a car.
Even though I'm not
given that
to
it
drive.
Was gone midnight at this point and I was barefoot, I wasn't sure what to do next, so I just kept going, all the while scoping out possible sleeping spots. Thankfully, it was the height of summer, so the evening was mild. A little further on, I came across another stray man and a brief conversation in which he offered me drugs and a place to stay. Or this is, of course, a recurring pitfall of the stray man, isn't it?
This is almost becoming like a fucking... The children's story, almost. He's going on a journey. Yeah. He comes across various men, characters.
Oh, what was the man made out of gingerbread and was his house made of sweeties? except in an adult version, it was like, I met a man. He was made out of fags. And he took me home to his house, which was made of frozen lager. It were a beer igloo. And he said I could lick it all night. He offered me a place to stay, which I considered, but came to the conclusion it would probably end in bumming. I bid him farewell. Hey, nothing wrong with bumming, as long as it's all above
consensual.
Board.
Yeah,
consensual bumming. Carried on walking. All kinds of thoughts were running through my drug-addled teenage mind at this point. I thought about breaking... Mate, you'd only had a spliff. Don't make out you were like Charlie Sheen on acid in fucking Platoon. All kinds of thoughts were running through my drug-addled teenage mind at this point. I thought about breaking into an empty holiday cottage or just committing myself fully to the stray man lifestyle. But just as things were looking their bleakest, a nearby bar was kicking out and a not unattractive young woman in her early 20s saw me standing there with no shoes or socks on. She approached, obviously fascinated. Okay, there's a bullshit alarm going off in my head at this stage. Obviously fascinated. That's the key term that I think, really? Yeah. I don't think she was obviously fascinated by a shoeless boy outside a pub really late at night.
No, I don't know. It seems vaguely fascinating.
Okay. After a short conversation, I offered to walk her home. Unbelievably, she accepted, and after a delightful stroll, during which I studiously avoided broken glass and numerous dog shits while attempting to be charming, we arrived at her front door. She told me her parents were away and I was welcome to kick there if I wanted. For some reason, God only knows, I froze and said, actually, I'd probably better be getting back. Back to where, mate? To where, I've no idea. It was three in the bastard morning at this point. She gave me her phone number in case I changed my mind. I thanked her and set off walking back the way I'd come. I arrived back at the camp around just as the warden was unlocking the front gate. I hid beneath a bush. Great, good stuff. Until he'd finished, and then stole through the gate and crept back into my tent. I never called her. What a pillock.
Oh, yeah. Dear me.
I can see that, really. That must have been hard for you to live with over the years. But at least you've got it off your chest now.
I think the message there is don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah. Don't do drugs. Absolutely.
Fucking absolutely. Hell. We've had a follow-up. Do you remember the bullshitter who referred to himself as being in the regiment? And he would occasionally go into the woods in a tent and reset his demons.
Yeah.
We've had a follow-up from Gary Collier who sent that in. He says, the regiment bullshitter was once spotted shopping up the Asda when he should have been resetting his inner demons in the woods. He said he had to try and keep it quiet, but he'd been recruited by the Manchester Chinatown Triads as an enforcer.
Oh, they're one of the toughest triads. They are
among Manchester's toughest triads, them definitely, the Chinatown boys. He told them it was because he'd become fluent in Chinese while serving overseas. When asked if it was Mandarin or Cantonese he spoke, he replied by speaking nonsense in a Chinese accent. I imagine it would have been something like something along them lines, I reckon.
It's sort of like a combination of the two, if I'm honest. Yeah, it's a hybrid language. I flip between both, but most people seem to understand me.
It goes a bit like this. What I've just said there is, you were here, I'm going in the shop for 20 B&H. But that was in Mandarin Cantonese. And Gary adds, then he went straight out to get his tent.
It's really impressive commitment to the bullshit, isn't it? Actually doing an impression of the language. Got an unexpected boobs from Andrew. Ooh. Close. When I was about 17 or 18, I saw some unexpected boobs in a very unexpected place. One night, me and my mates decided to have a night in round my house to have a few drinks, a pizza, and a few games on Mario Kart. Lovely.
Nice.
We realised we had no booze, so a couple of us headed up the Asda to sort this out. Just as we went through the doors, we bumped into a couple of female friends of mine I'd gone to school with and stopped for a quick chat. They asked what we were doing there, so we told them. We were there for a couple of crates and we're having a night in round mine. I asked them what they'd been buying. This is where the conversation took a bit of a turn. One of the girls said that she'd had her nipples pierced that afternoon, so had been buying some kind of antiseptic to stop them getting infected. She then asked if we'd like to see them, and before we could say, fuck yes, I'll see your weeping infected nipples, please. She'd whipped them out and asked, what do you think? Obviously, being teenagers and confronted with boobs, we were all dumbstruck for what felt like an eternity before I could feebly mutter in a voice that sounded very much like it was in the process of breaking again, very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. She thanked me for the compliment, put her boobs away, and we said our goodbyes. As she walked away, I regained my composure and my teenage confidence and called after her, give me a shout if you want to. I'm putting the antiseptic on. Oh, God. Me and my mates then walked off towards the beer aisle in silence, in shock at what had just happened in the entrance to the Asdas. Oh, God.
Fucking hell.
Oh, mate. Give us a shout if you want. I'm putting the antiseptic on.
She'll have been about 20 feet away by that point, wandering off.
It's the stuff of David Niven, isn't it? Oh, the velvet tongued womanizers of yore. It's the sort of shit you can imagine Errol Flynn probably came out with on a nightly basis.
Give me a shout if you want, I'd put the antiseptic on.
And by the way, madam, he said as he leant down, kissed her hand, then looked upwards, meeting her eyes with his own. And remember, madam, give me a shout if you need any help applying the antiseptic. Her knickers almost fell off automatically.
Oh, we spoke earlier about cricket and bullshit, and here's another one from James Hodgson. At our cricket club, we had a guy in his 50s who had moved back to the area after many years living abroad. Alarm bells. He started running the bar and was quickly named Semtex, as he was likely to blow up at any time. He enjoyed serving up endless pints of lager and quickly established himself as a master bullshitter. The first of the entertaining life experience Semtex casually threw into conversation was that whilst working in California, he had designed and built Chuck Norris's house. Also in California, he met Eddie Van Halen and ended up designing and making a guitar for him. When we dissolved in laughter, Semtex exploded before coming back the next weekend with a picture from Google of Rolling Stone magazine with Eddie Van Halen playing said guitar. Clear proof if ever you needed it, we told Semtex. Suitably encouraged, Semtex moved on to his time in Thailand. Here, he claimed to have designed the tail fin for Thai Airways. Through this, he claimed to have been introduced to some filmmakers, leading to him being the person to drive the car away at the end of Man with the Golden Gun. Ignoring the fact that the final scene is actually a boat sailing away from Scaramanga's Island. Of course, Semtex felt the need to also bullshit about sporting prowess. He claimed to have been one of the fastest bowlers in the country in his pomp and claimed the wicket of many Kent and England players while stood in a bar with people that played in the same team and knew this to be utter bollocks. His final bullshit was a beauty. We arrived at practice one evening to find Semtex excitedly walking back from the nets. "I've done it! I've finally done it!" he declared. "Done what?" "I've developed the upswinger. I've been working on it for years. I bowl the ball, and just before it reaches the batsman, the ball swings upwards." "So you've developed a ball that defies gravity?" "Yep," he said, without a hint of self-doubt. Semtex was invited to practice with us and share the magic he'd developed. Funnily enough, he had something urgent to get to, and he made his excuses and left. Shortly afterwards, Semtex moved to Spain to live with his elderly mother. A world-class bullshitter was lost to us, but years later, we still rejoice in the entertainment he gave. Lovely stuff.
I do miss him. I mean, some of the bullshitters that I've talked about on this show, I'm falling out of contact with, and you just lose it over the years, don't you? Use it as an element, a sort of a feature of your life, a feature of entertainment. Right, Mark in Birmingham, fish-related bullshit. "As an electrician on a construction site, bullshit is something that comes with the territory, as it's an industry full of grade A bullshitters. One in particular claimed that his parents were millionaires and owned a rare breed of koi carp." Oh, fucking love koi carp. "That was worth thousands. He said one night somebody broke into his back garden, took one of the koi carps out of the pond, punched it, killed the fish and threw its corpse back in the pond and ran off." What a strange thing to do. I mean, if you'd gained access to koi carp, I mean, I've thought many times, I've discussed with friends, and you can't grasp me for this because we've never had the balls to follow through on it.
Right.
But there is some koi carp in quite public places around London. And we've talked before about how easy it would be to just steal koi carp. Koi carp are really precious, right?
Yeah.
And they're worth loads of money. They're just swimming around in ponds in public parks and in some public parks and that. And then you just sort of think, you know, like, you wouldn't leave a lump of gold, would you? Or a briefcase full of cash just sitting around in a public park all night.
Yeah, true.
But they do the same with koi carp. So anyway, what I'm saying is, this geezer, if he could get in and get access to the koi carp, why would he have just punched one to death rather than nicking it, putting it in a bag full of water and then going flogging it on eBay or something? Yeah. Anyway, he ran off and apparently the police were called instantly and the pond was surrounded by a forensics tent and many police operatives trying to get to the bottom of this fish homicide. When I asked him why the police took it so seriously, he replied that his mum worked for MI5 and had, in quotes, connections. Needless to say, I just replied, "Really?" which sent him on another bullshit tangent, claiming his mum once asked him to take 50 grand in a briefcase to an address, but wouldn't tell him why, as it was classified information. He then proceeded to say he took the briefcase on a bus with him to get to the destination. A bus is a really safe way to travel with that amount of money on you, isn't it? Didn't want to get a taxi. I'm sure if he'd got a taxi, he could have put the receipt into MI5
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Yeah, they would give him a tenner up front, probably. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Punched koi cop. Some more unexpected tits. Joe from Essex. One summer evening, myself and two friends were enjoying a marijuana cigarette up on the cliffs in town. Again, another regular theme of of this podcast. Taking in the view and having some general high guy chit-chat. There was some occasional pedestrian traffic. Overall, it was pretty quiet. Passers-by would steer clear of our bench, as one would hope when in that mental state. After a while, we became aware of a couple loitering behind us and naturally hushed our conversation and went into cautious public stoner mode. Feeling a bit on edge, we tried to ignore this and carry on as normal. But slowly, a slightly gothy, heavy woman came round from behind us and took the stage in front of our bench. We looked on in silence as she proceeded to pull down her top, flop out the unexpected goods and juggle them in her hands for a moment before half whispering, "Tits."
No way.
In what Joe has described as an Alan Rickman-esque tone.
Oh, I can't even imagine that.
He says, we were stunned. And after some awkward silence and staring, I took it on myself to try and resolve the deadlock. All I managed to come out with, though, was a pathetic, "Okay, no thank you." Fortunately, this was enough, and she sloped off, leaving us to recover from the shock.
Oh, my God.
And he's actually finished up with a haiku for us from his comrade of the night. Snuck off for a bit, found a lovely hidden spot, then bam, bouncing tits.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. God, that's quite cruel of the woman, if true. Like, you spot... Because sometimes you see... You do see that, don't you? You'll be walking on the street and you'll smell something and you'll think someone's having a spliff, and you'll see some sheepish-looking spotty adolescents sitting somewhere, going stray. They're always stray, aren't they? And they'll be stray and they'll be on a bench and they'll be looking really self-conscious, half trying to look hard and unapproachable, but really you just know they're really stoned, paranoid and freaking out. In fact, altogether, it's a very unenjoyable experience if you think about it. I don't know why they waste their money and time on it.
Yeah.
You might as well have a beer on a bench because then you don't feel at all paranoid.
Have you got any more? Have you got time for one more?
What, shall I do it? I've got a sex fail. Okay. I was 18 and I met a young lady when I was out on an afternoon drinking session. Things went well, and I was invited back to her house for the evening. Throughout the evening, she was declaring her love of animals, and I thought, great. I told her I was a vet.
Why not?
But I am not a vet, and I can't stand bloody animals. You like animals, do you? Funny you should say that, because I deal with a lot of animals in my line of work.
Yeah, oh, really?
What's that? I'm a vet. In fact, I'm the top vet in Britain. Things throughout the evening were going great until about 8 p.m. when I heard a bang. We ran outside to find a dog had been hit. It looked in a bit of pain, and my lady friend declared to the crowd not to worry because I was a vet. Fuck. I bent down to try and assist this poor animal. When I did so, I fell over and mistakenly fell on the dog. Oh, come on.
Jesus.
The dog yelped. I, for the next 2 or 3 minutes, tried to prod the dog, even reaching for a stick to assist in the...
What?
Jeez, what kind of a vet are you? Hand me a stick. You know, like when you see the surgeons, scalpel.
Yeah.
Stick. Hand me a stick, goddammit. We're losing this dog.
I'm off duty. I don't have my vetting stick with me, but a standard stick will suffice.
Yeah. Get me a stick, any stick. I'll poke this dog. Now, what you do is you throw the stick and the dog, instinctively adrenaline kicks in and it leaps out of its state of near death and just chases the stick.
And gets better.
Eventually, a neighbour chimes in. "I don't think he is a vet, love. He's causing this dog more harm than good." My lady friend agreed. and left and went back inside. I sat in the road, pissed out of my face, covered in the blood of an injured dog and with numerous harsh looks coming from the locals. I didn't see the girl or the dog again. I am still not a vet.
Oh, that and it poor, sounds mate. Like he
don't
never
lie.
Will
I mean,
be.
There are some things you should. Lying about being in the SAS is one thing, but lying about being a vet, it's like, it's too risky.
It's beyond the pale. It should be an arrestable offence. We'll put that in the dossier we're going to give to your policeman friend.
Yeah.
Right, that's it for this latest episode in the mailbag. Keep them coming because they're generally there's enough for us to fill half an hour. Obviously, the vast majority of them are fucking terrible, but you know, keep them coming anyway. Don't be afraid.
Don't be shy.
Ashamed.
Don't be put ashamed. Off. We're not really naming anyone who's done the shit ones, the good ones,
no,
or the,
not,
the
not
basically
yet, anyway.
Adequate ones.
Not yet, yeah. But we probably will get right to it at some point.
We might do like a top 10 list of names of people who've sent us the most appalling things.
Yeah. Yeah, quite right. All right, we'll be back fucking probably tomorrow with a new episode because we seem to be banging them out willy-nilly at the minute. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.